Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to The Bullpen, live from McIntyre's in downtown. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are live at McIntyre's downtown. This is The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Andrew Carlson alongside Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders. All this is possible at the wonderful location of McIntyre's downtown, thanks to the people over at Neutral Vodka Seltzers. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Guys, this stuff is absolutely fantastic. It's real vodka, real fruit juice, just 100 calories, gluten-free. It ticks literally every box you could possibly want in a drink. And, oh, yeah, it tastes amazing, too. So there's not much more you could ask for in your beverage of choice here.
Yes, after I have one, two, three, however many here, I will then go home and open up my fridge, and there will be eight more waiting for me, thanks to the good folks at Neutral Vodka Seltzer.
So, like we said, we're down here at McIntyre's downtown. Come say hi to us if you got a little free time in your Saturday afternoon. If not, you can always hit us up on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right, guys, we teased it before the break. The Final Four is here in Houston, and I think this might be the least hype around an event of this magnitude that I have ever seen. And maybe that's just because I'm a depressed Houston Cougar fan who watched his team get bounced by a white-hot Miami team in the Sweet 16. Maybe Sean is a depressed UT fan because he saw his team get bounced by some white-hot referees
in
the second half.
Scott Foster wearing a mask, yes.
But I want to pose this question to you guys. I understand that you have the Cinderella storylines and that Sean and I are totally jaded by the results of the previous rounds, but is this potentially the least interesting Final Four that you can really remember?
Yes. Yes, I think it is. I think it is. This is in just sour grapes. Even on the other side of the bracket, you have Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. But I mean, San Diego State's actually pretty good team, pretty good program. But Florida Atlantic has that kind of Cinderella quality to them, except that they beat FDU, a 16 seed. So they kind of weren't really a Cinderella. And they beat Marquise Noel, the guy who's really – I mean, just absolutely fantastic, and had a little bit of that Cinderella run to him, even though he was a three seed because he was 5'6". So they are somehow a Cinderella that doesn't have any of the Cinderella juices because they beat all the teams that we like more than them. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have UConn, who is kind of the favorite to win this thing, the recognizable brand, and they're a four seed. And then you have, obviously, the cheating Miami Hurricanes.
Don't
they
sound upset
they
at
cheated.
All, Sean.
I don't Losers. Think it may be unappealing because of the teams, but I do think this is appealing because I think you're looking at the future of college basketball in terms of this.
Yuck.
In terms of this, hear me out. I think the for better or for worse, and I don't think we liked it as a nation or you know as a country. But I think the COVID era and having guys now be able to stay an extra year with no penalty, and also you have things like NIL, a lot of these guys are now a lot older. That means the basketball is a lot better. And when you look at a coach like Coach Larrañaga from Miami, I think he's played this perfectly with guys that he's gotten from the transfer portal. And you also – he's done a great job with the NIL – I think that now for a lot of these teams, I think this is probably the end of the blue blood school. I think there's going to be a lot more teams that are going to have to look into the transfer portal. I think that the leagues and the conferences, I think they are going to get a lot older because of the NIL. So it's going to be better basketball because you have older players. So this is no longer going to be, you know, get the stud 19-year-old, get the stud 18-year-old, and we're just going to push through to the Final Four. I think that those days are long, long gone. So in terms of teams, you may say, yeah, this is unintriguing, especially, you know, with the Houston Cougars. You thought that this was going to be their year, especially with it being in Houston. Jim Nance, his final call is going to be, and the Houston Cougars have won the NCAA championship. But I think long term, I think this is really now giving you a snapshot into what the NCAA is going to look like. And I think that's going to be intriguing. How do teams now utilize the NIL as well as the transfer portal?
Now, I don't want to come at you too hard for this, RJ.
Okay.
But that could have been a take on real reaction or overreaction. I think that's a massive overreaction if I'm being 100% honest with you.
Okay.
Just last year, look at the Final Four. We had, Villanova. We had Kansas. We had Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, and Villanova, right? Yeah,
yep.
So that was the Final Four last year. And those are all blue bloods. Like, the only one that's even a slight question mark in the blue blood category there is Villanova. The other three are as the blue bloods get. So while I do think that there is more parity in college basketball, and this year it was really the theme of the season, right? It was consistently talked about all year long how there isn't one team that really, really stands out. Yes, Alabama is the best team. Yes, Houston is up there. And they were both relatively consistent throughout the majority of the season. But neither of them were just blowing their opponents off the court every single night. There was not that one super dominant college basketball team this year, as we've seen in many years past. So I think that there's a chance this season is more of an outlier than you might be letting on. I'm going to disagree with you here. I think that there will be more parity as we move forward and as these rules are continued to be sort of introduced, and we see the effects of everything with the NIL, extra years for some of these, you know, COVID seniors, whatever else, who are all of a sudden playing for what seems like 6-7 years at the college level. But I think that the blue bloods are still going to dominate. Like, UConn, they are 4 seed in name only, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at any sort of advanced metrics, UConn is a top 10 team in the country, and just for whatever reason, the tournament committee decided to make them a 4 seed. But they are a fantastic team. All the numbers said it coming into the tournament, and it's played out that way on the court. So I think that we do have some level of parity that's coming to the game, but this year is not some massive shift off of what we've seen in college basketball in the past.
What you said about UConn, I think they just had a stretch of like 6 games where they went like 2-4 or something, or 2-6 in 8 games in Big East play that really is the difference between them being a 1 or 2 seed and them being a 4 seed. And yeah, I think this isn't really anything that is super sweeping changes to college basketball. I think it is just a lot of, like you said, a lot of the 1 seeds and 2 seeds this year aren't as strong as they are in most years. And as far as like the lack of hype around this, I really do think it's interesting. I think it's because it's just as simple as look at the logos, and none of them are really good college basketball logos. And they're really, UConn, like you said, is the only blue blood. Or I don't know.
I don't really know what blue blood
even means. I don't know. They've won like 4 titles in the last 25 years. They're not a blue blood.
Also missed the tournament a few times. Like,
that is true.
UConn's either winning a title or like they're in it to win it or they're not in it.
They're most of the way there this year. I think that part of it comes from the fact that two of these teams are from South Florida. And it's just not a college basketball hotbed in any way. Neither of these programs are really like programs that feels like people are rallying behind. And then you throw in San Diego State all the way on the West Coast, kind of laid back. So I think that's part of it, is they're not like the fan base. You know, you look back at the 2011 Final Four, because that's not the last one in Houston, but the second to last one in Houston. And it was a similar group of teams where it was UConn again, Butler, VCU, but they had Kentucky. It's still at Kentucky, and UConn was the second team kind of in that, and they had the Kimball Walker run. They had so many more storylines going into this, where the storyline going into this one is like, wow, look at these teams, huh? That's crazy. Look at these logos that are on all the signs out here in Houston. It's unbelievable that 3 of the 4 teams are even at this point, and I think unlike the 2011 Final Four, I think these games have some potential to be good just because of Miami's shot making. And San Diego State, really, they just love playing games that are 55-57. So that one might not be a great game. But I think the UConn-Miami game has the potential to be good if UConn stops blowing every team out.
So how are we feeling about the games themselves? You sort of alluded to it a little bit there, Sean.
Sorry.
We've got a couple minutes left of the segment here. So how are you guys feeling? Where are you sort of leaning as we are about, what, four-ish hours away from the tip-off of the first game of Florida Atlantic taking on the Aztecs of San Diego State?
I got San Diego State versus UConn. I mean, UConn looked really good in their last game. And I do think that San Diego State, I do believe that they're a team that is well coached. I do believe that they're also a team that, hey, I think that they've also taken advantage of, you know, having older players and having those veteran-like guys, you know, whatever you take that for in the NCAA. I think these are going to be two interesting games. A game that I like is going to be Miami-UConn, but I do think that the final is going to be San Diego State versus UConn, and I think that's going to be a real interesting game. I think that's going to be I think these two games tonight are going to be much more exciting than people would probably give credit for. So I can't wait to see either one of these two games.
A better way to phrase that probably would have been, do any of us not see UConn winning this thing? That because that's sort of how I'm looking at it at this point. No. Is UConn is the runaway favorite. Do you see any scenario where the Huskies are not being crowned national champions on Monday?
I mean, it would be a continuation of this tournament where it's, wow, can you believe that we're – wow, can you believe there's no one seeds in the – and only 1-2 seed in the Elite Eight? Wow, can you believe that there's no 1-2 or 3 seeds in the Final Four? Wow, can you believe that UConn somehow didn't win this and San Diego State is NCAA champion? That would fit thematically with what we've seen thus far in this tournament. But the other thing that we've seen thus far in this tournament is – UConn win every game by 15 points. And so that makes it hard to avoid seeing, like you said, UConn lift the trophy here at the end of this thing.
All right, guys. The basketball talk is going to continue after the break here. The Houston Rockets season is mercifully and finally coming to an end. They got their 19th win last night. But if you look at the roster and as we look it up and down coming up next segment, what are some of the names that you think we should be looking at keeping around for the future development of the team? We're going to discuss that next. This is The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, broadcasting live from McIntyre's downtown, all thanks to Neutral Vodka Seltzer.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from McIntyre's in downtown, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You heard it from the big voice guy. We are live at McIntyre's downtown. This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Myself, Andrew Carlson, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders with you. Let's hit the Twitter handles real quickly. Find me on Twitter at Carlson Radio, at R Has No J for my man RJ, and at Sean A. Mapes for Sean. We teased it before the break, gentlemen. Keeping the basketball talk rolling a little bit here. The Rockets got their 19th win of the season last night. There's not a lot of talent on this Rockets roster. There's some guys that you may want to think about keeping around, but as we look forwards with an eye towards next year, and obviously I think a lot of this has some level is going to be impacted to a decent degree by how the ping pong balls play out in the NBA draft. But just initially, as we take a look through the roster right now, what are some of the names that stick out to you as we talk about guys that we want to make sure that are around for next season, a really sort of crucial building blocks for the rebuild? So let's initially stick with about five names or so, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so two that are absolutely no doubter, they should be on the – barring – I don't know, the Lakers being like, hey, want LeBron for these guys? Barring that, two guys that should be on the roster next year, no matter what, Jabari Smith Jr., Jalen Green.
Exactly. Yeah.
To me, they are in a tier of their own as far as untouchability, if you're going to use
completely
that term.
Agree. Completely agree.
I may have just invented untouchability. They are untouchable as untouchable gets. They're the last two top three picks this team had. They both have shown different flashes throughout this season and in Jalen's Green's case last season. Those two are the two that are far and ahead, the two guys that absolutely should be on this team next year. After that, it to me, it's a step down, and I think can really be a kind of an eye of the beholder kind of situation. Do you want me just to go through who's in that next kind of group, subgrouping for me?
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, I think that we're all on the same page.
We'll touch
page
on
here.
Some of the same guys.
Yeah, we're all on the same page that, like, there's not a lot of discussion that needs to be had right. about Jabari Smith Jr. and Jalen Green.
Yes.
Like, those two guys are, like you said, Sean, in a tier of their own, and there's not really any discussion or debate that needs to be had. They are going to be some of the foundational pieces, hopefully, for the Rockets rebuild.
Yeah, and if things will, go right,
and
yeah.
They'll be part of the core whenever this team
wins games? Question mark?
Is potentially yeah. decent or competitive again. You
okay.
know?
Yes. So in that next group, so yeah, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, I view as like must be on the team next year. These are guys that I think should be on the team next year. So that'll be Alperen Sengun, that'll be Tari Eason, and I'm going to throw Kenyon Martin Jr. in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
He's that was the one that I was like, I don't know if that's just kind of my own personal taste. I really like how he plays. I think
yeah.
I think he's an awesome piece to this team. To me, those are the guys that should be on the team next year that I think that I would be like, hell yes, we got these guys.
No Deshaun Nix?
No Deshaun. Well, I want to – I would love to win some games next year. Deshaun Nix, you – maybe – that'll be in the next one and could keep around in case we need to tank
but wouldn't
next
be sad
year.
If they left.
And then he can be the starting point guard next year. Yeah, no Deshaun Nix, no DJ Augustine. Darius Days might not get another mention this segment. Those guys, KJ Martin, Tari Eason, and Sengun, are the next group of guys that I think should round out the five that I would want to keep long-term on this basketball team.
My three guys, at least in terms of the most importance, I think your two most talented guys right now are Alperen Sengun and Jalen Green. I think those are your two most talented individual players on this roster. I think Jalen Green, I think he's at the point now, you know, year three, and then once you kind of see year four, you know, you hope to see something where now it's starting to translate into wins. I understand you're going to have to put a team around him, but listen, this was a high draft pick. This was a guy that you said is going to take you into the future, post-Harden era. You're going to need to start seeing something out of him. A lot of these guys around the NBA, you talk to Wes Unseld Jr., I believe Anthony Edwards said the same thing. They really are high on Alperen, and a lot of these guys you're hearing baby Nikola Jokic. That's a tall order there for Alperen Sengun. But if guys around the league are respecting his game like that, then it's a guy that you keep an eye on. The third person, I don't think is here yet. I think the third person is a ping pong ball. Whether that is
the 14% at
the 14%, Victor Wembanyama, or you know Scoot Henderson, if that's going to be your guy, you know as your number one or number two overall pick, you know hoping that you get the number one pick here. But I think your two most important guys are on the roster currently. Are going to be Alperen Sengun and Jalen Green, and the third guy, as of right now, isn't on the roster yet, but you're hoping to get him, and Victor Wembanyama.
So you really are not high enough on Jabari Smith that you would put, in terms of importance, Alperen Sengun over Jabari Smith Jr. right now, RJ?
Absolutely not. In terms of individual play, I think that you have Alperen Sengun, just in terms of people talking about him, so highly.
Okay.
It's something that you have to keep an eye on. I think Jabari's going to be really good. I think he's a guy that you've seen put a lot of pressure on himself, and you're seeing him now get over the rookie wall now for the Houston Rockets team. I think he's going to be a great rotational player, starting guy for the Houston Rockets. Kenyon Martin Jr. is also a guy that is a stud, and I know that he was asking for a trade early. The early part of this season, you do not let this guy go. But talent-wise, your two most talented guys on the roster right now are Sengun and Jalen Green. And I think your third talented guy, should you get him, is Victor Wembanyama. And I think, like Sean said, with those second-tier guys, when you talk about like Tari Eason or Kenyon Martin and Jabari Smith, I think those are your second-tier of guys. But the two guys that I would say I think you can build around – that can make, you know, a solid roster for a young team that's rebuilding, definitely Alperen and Jalen.
All right, fair enough. That's a fair enough answer there. Now, I think, Sean, my list is going to be very similar to yours. Like, so I don't want to bog us down with me essentially repeating what you said,
okay,
almost verbatim. So I think that the way that this discussion really needs to be shaped is, do you want Kevin Porter Jr. as a piece of this Rockets team next season, and more importantly, as a piece of this Rockets team moving forward into the future beyond next season?
So for me, he's in almost a group to himself where it's – I'm okay with him being on the team next year. I still just kind of want to wait and see, but he is on a different timeline than these other guys for me personally, just as far as, A, we've kind of already seen a lot more from him as a NBA basketball player, and all the off-the-court stuff and leadership stuff, and sometimes the off-the-court stuff is on the court when he's obviously upset about not getting a pass thrown his way. It's literally an on-the-court issue that he's having. So I think he is the odd man out of this kind of young nucleus, or he's the one that I'm most okay with being the odd man out in this young nucleus, and the one that I'm least sold on as being a key part of the future going forward. He's someone who, when the Rockets take that next step, I would think is the guy who gets replaced that helps them take that next step.
He's definitely an interesting piece. I don't know if you want him as your point guard. I don't know if he's a point guard or a wing guy for this Houston Rockets team. Should they keep him? I think, you know, you hear the term combo guard, especially when it comes with him. Steven Silas wanted to play him more as the point guard and have Jalen Green as the off guard. What is he really? And, you know, another name that we haven't brought up yet, I mean, could he be a solid rotational point guard for you next year? It's Ty Washington. I like what he does when he's on the floor. And, I mean, he's doing great things with Rio Grande right now as they're in the G League playoffs. Had a triple-double, I think, either the last game they had or two games ago. But what is Kevin Porter Jr. if you keep him on the Rockets? Is he your point guard or is he a wing guy? And I think that's going to be something that you bring into question after the NBA draft. If you get Scoot Henderson, do you move Kevin Porter Jr. off to the wing? Or if you get Victor Wembanyama, is he still one of your point guards? If you get James Harden next year, do you move him again? Or do you just move on from Kevin Porter Jr. and say, try to figure it out with the next team that you're on? That's going to be interesting, too, with KPJ.
And that is something, the Scoot Henderson point is something that I think is part that colors my reasoning behind this, is that if the Rockets get the number two pick and they pick Scoot Henderson,
right,
he should be the starting point guard.
Yes,
without
season.
Question.
It's the same reason that John Wall sat out all of last year, because the Rockets want to give KPJ a shot at the starting point guard. You want to see what you have in this guy. It's the shoes just on this different foot this time, where I want to see what we have in Scoot Henderson, and I'm not sure how KPJ will handle that demotion. He is someone who has not handled adversity in that way very well throughout his career, and you throw in the fact, and this is very severely underreported, that KPJ's nickname inexplicably is also Scoot, and now you're going to have Scoot Henderson.
Scoots.
So you're having a guy who has the same name, plays the same position, get drafted and start over him. I do not think he'll handle that well.
No.
So I think we've all come to the conclusion here that a lot of what these decisions will end up coming down to will be impacted by what the Rockets
do.
Not just in the draft, but also in free agency. They're going to have a ton of cap space to work with. What sort of moves do they make in the offseason that could potentially really impact the roster and change the trajectory of this team in terms of where their rebuild is? We're going to dive into some of that next. There's a name that's been floated out there by our very own John Granato that I think Rockets fans may find extremely, extremely interesting. Could he be a fit? Could he even be available? We're going to talk about it next on the Bullpen. This is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from McIntyre's downtown, all brought to you by Neutral Vodka Seltzer.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bullpen, live from McIntyre's in downtown. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
That is right. We are at McIntyre's downtown, courtesy of Neutral Vodka Seltzer. So just some fantastic seltzer drinks to add to whatever drinking activities you may have, or even just regular activities that you have on a Saturday. Not that I'm encouraging, you know, drinking irresponsibly. I'm just saying they're that good that you can have them along with just about anything, as long as you do it, obviously, like Sean said, responsibly. The Astros are in action right now, up 2-0 in the bottom of the first inning. Hey, guess who just knocked in a run?
Chaz McCormick.
Everyone's favorite center fielder except for Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
You know, you put him in there, he's already done more than Jake Myers has in his first two starts in a single half inning. Look, I'm not upset about the fact that he hasn't played. I'm just thinking it's a little curious.
But, sneak this.
All right. Switching gears back to the Rockets for a second here, guys. We teased it before the break. We talked about it before the break. There was a name that was brought up by our very own John Granato this week that could be a potential addition for the Rockets this offseason that would be extremely, extremely interesting. Now, that name was Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics. Apparently, there are some whispers that he may look to get out of Boston this offseason. If you're the Rockets, would you, should you be interested at all in potentially figuring it out and trying to see what it would take to acquire Jaylen Brown?
I think you should definitely be interested. At the very least, you can be interested in a 26-year-old shooting guard, small forward, a wing, who is going to probably make either All-NBA third team or he's going to be the first guy who doesn't make All-NBA third team. So you blanket should be interested in this guy and worry about fit later. The question is how are you going to make this happen? What's your appetite for making this happen via trade? Who are you willing to give up on, which kind of coincides with our previous segment? Who in the pyramid of Rockets young players are you most okay with parting with and sending to Boston? That to me is the key conundrum when it comes to this trade.
Yeah, see, I agree with you, Sean, in the aspect that you should be interested. Anytime that there's a player of this talent level that is potentially on the market, that's somebody that you should at least be sounding things out and saying, what would it take for us to make this happen? But I think a lot of any sort of potential move for Jaylen Brown would come down to what the Rockets are doing in the draft. Because if you get Scoot, frankly, I just don't see a avenue for a Jaylen Brown on the team. And on top of that, like, will he hinder Jalen Green's growth at all? Like, I understand that you're getting a guy who is just multiple levels above where Jalen Green is, and he will immediately make this team almost infinitely better than they are right now, just by his presence alone. But where's your timeline at in terms of adding a Jalen Green or a guy like Jalen Green to the mix? And is he someone that is going to help the development of all the players who are a little bit behind him on their own respective timelines? And that's something that I just don't know if it matches up for the Rockets right now. But obviously, when you have a talent or a name with that level of talent associated with it, that's something that you should at least be sounding out and see, all right, what's the cost associated with it here?
In terms of veteran leadership, that's going to be a big question this offseason with the Houston Rockets. But when it comes to Jaylen Brown, listen, James Harden was 22, 23 years old when he came to the Houston Rockets. And, you know, the Houston Rockets front office thought that this guy had superstar potential. He was behind Russell Westbrook. He was behind Kevin Durant. And you said, if this guy has his own team, he could be a superstar. Now, of course, you were trying to pair him up with Jeremy Lin at the time. But, you know, James Harden just completely exploded once he got to Houston. Here you have a guy in Jaylen Brown who's about 26 years old. I think that everybody would agree he's behind Jason Tatum as being, you know, that superstar guy. You say he's a great complimentary piece. I don't know if he's your piece, you know, the best player on a championship team, but do I think that Jaylen Brown can be a guy who you say is your best player on this Houston Rockets team and could be a superstar in the NBA? I definitely think you can. Now, what other players have you heard around the NBA that the Houston Rockets are expected to pursue? And you're basically going back in the bag and trying to say, hey, James Harden, do you want to come back and play with the Houston Rockets? And, you know, there goes a guy on the back half of his career. You don't know how many years he has left in him. You don't know what kind of player he wants to be. Does he want to be a superstar guy, or does he want to be a guy that says, listen, I'm here to teach the young guys? I think you put Jaylen Brown on this roster, I think he helps a guy like Jalen Green. And you have the Jalen and Jalen connection. I think that would be definitely fun for this Houston Rockets team. You need stars in a superstar-driven league, and I think Jaylen Brown for the Houston Rockets, he would be that next guy that when you had James Harden, he became a superstar and blew up. I think you would see the exact same thing with Jaylen Brown.
I think Jaylen Brown might already be closer to that superstar stratosphere, though. Like, he's a multiple-time All-Star.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's made All-NBA teams in the past. Like, that's someone who is a multiple tiers above wherever James Harden was when he was traded from OKC. When James Harden was traded from OKC, he was
a sixth man
of the year.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown is a clear step above that. But I think you're right in terms of the Celtics are not his team. That's
no.
Jason Tatum's team,
yeah.
100%. So that would be interesting from that perspective. And, I mean, when you also look at the talent that would be available via free agency for the Rockets to potentially add, and you compare it to what you could potentially get in a Jaylen Brown throwing fit aside for the second, let's look at some of these names really quickly. You got Russell Westbrook. Hell no. Been there,
yeah.
done that. Please stay away at all costs.
I think it'll work this time, though.
That's what everybody keeps telling themselves, right? Everybody keeps telling themselves that. After that, you mentioned James Harden. You've got Khris Middleton. Kyrie Irving.
Oh.
Draymond Green.
Mm.
Like, these names are not guys that are going to massively move the needle for this team, really even next year or the year after. So, I mean, taking that into account, yeah, maybe trading for a guy like Jaylen Brown might be the move. The only question I have then, if you choose to do that, is how much of your draft capital are you sending away? Because I don't think the Celtics are wanting a single piece of what you currently have on your roster. That's just me personally saying that. The Celtics are in a win-now mode. I don't think there's a single piece on this Rockets roster as it's currently constructed that is even close to being a win-now type of player. So Celtics, at least in my mind, are not going to want anything to do with a single asset you have on your roster right now. So what's the third team that you're roping in to send draft picks, to send assets to where they then send a piece out to the Celtics? They would be okay with adding into the mix.
Yeah, and so just looking at the Rockets roster and their salary situation, it's really hard to get up to the $30 million that Jaylen Brown. God, that I actually don't want him to make the trade. Just
Jaylen and Jaylen connection.
The Jaylen and then Green and Brown would be so hard. But Brown makes $30 million a year.
Yeah.
The Rockets, with their current situation, do not have anyone that makes anywhere close to that.
Nope.
The only guy who makes over $10 million is Kevin Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. right now. So you kind of have to have him in the trade, which already for Boston, I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. is the type of guy that you could see certain teams in the NBA just being like, absolutely not to. Just like off our board completely. So you'd have to hope that they want Kevin Porter Jr. Then you'd have to look at Alperen Sengun, Jabari Smith Jr., and Jaylen Green and go, Celtics, two of the three. And that's how it has to work.
And you can't
that's
be willing
how it
to do that.
To work.
And you couldn't be willing to do that if you're the Rockets. Like,
yes.
You cannot.
That is just – if it was one out of the three, you could I would actually kind of be on board with this. But two out of three, then it's like, okay, so what was the entire point of all this losing exactly? What exactly are we – now we're adding talent to the team, but we're also getting rid of so much talent in order to get it that I feel like the juice isn't quite worth the squeeze in that instance.
You have to get off of some of these picks, though. You got a lot of picks from Brooklyn. And I don't know if the Rockets are trying to say, listen, we're going to continue to build. We're going to continue to build. We're going to continue to build. Because, look, I think Brooklyn next year, they're going to sneak up on some teams. And instead of, you know, they're finishing last place or they're missing the playoffs, and now you're saying, we have two lottery picks in the draft. I think the Brooklyn Nets, if they add a couple of pieces, I think they may be a team that's going to play for Jock Vaughn. And they're going to be in a couple play-in situations. So now what's that for the Rockets? Now you're looking at late teens, early 20s. Do you really want to build through the draft with all these guys? You're going to have to look at giving up some of these picks. I mean, you know, listen, the Toronto Raptors think that OG Anunoby is a guy that a lot of teams are going to be willing to give up a couple of draft picks for. You look at guys like Jaylen Brown. You get Victor Wembanyama. We're hoping here as the Houston Rockets faithful. So there you go with that. If James Harden comes back, you know, listen, that's a nice piece. It's kind of, I guess, a nice full circle story for the Houston Rockets fans that loved James Harden. But you're going to need more talent than just Jaylen Green. You don't know what you have right now. And Kevin Porter Jr., if you want him long term. Of course, I said Alperen Sengun. You believe that Jaylen Brown's going to be a very nice asset to your team, but you're going to need young talent. You're going to need young stars that have been in the league more than 2-3 years that you feel can take that next step if they were on another team.
Quick Astros update for you guys before we hit the break here. Jose Urquidy just gave up a solo shot to Yoan Moncada.
Caught him.
A couple minutes ago. Yeah, get rid of him. Look. I think Forrest Whitley showed enough in his final spring start. All right. Urquidy, time to go. We got to get Forrest Wheatley up here. He's not giving up home runs to Yoan Moncada. But coming up next, We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to start focusing on the Texans. NFL draft coming up very, very, very soon. The Panthers have the number one pick. We all know this. But what if they go for the quarterback that the Texans have their eye on? What should the Texans do in that scenario? What should they be looking at potentially at 12? We're going to dive into all of that and much more next on The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, broadcasting live from McIntyre's downtown, all courtesy of Neutral Vodka Seltzer.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bullpen, live from McIntyre's in downtown. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are live here at McIntyre's downtown. Big Boy Scott told you, this is The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, down here at a fantastic location. If you have not been to McIntyre's downtown, the whole place is phenomenal. And there's not a better sort of day to have an open area than like what we've got right now. Mid-80s, nice little breeze coming through. You know, they've got plenty of open windows and walls. Just does not get better than this. And can't go any further without mentioning that it's all thanks to the people over at Neutral Vodka Seltzers. They've set this all up for us. Just absolutely fantastic job. Can't say thank you to them enough for what they've done getting us set up here. So we said before the break that we're going to change gears, switch over to the Texans a little bit, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Looking ahead to the NFL draft coming up a few weeks from now. Panthers are going QB at one. I think we all know this at this point. Unless for some reason they pull off the trade that nobody is buying, that they keep putting out there with their little smoke screens, that they're potentially willing to trade down from number one after giving up all that capital to trade up. If the Panthers go Bryce at one, if you're the Texans, you have to take C.J. Stroud, right? There's no other option for you if you're the Texans. You have to leave the draft with a quarterback at number two. That is a non-negotiable, at least for me. Are you guys on the same page there?
Yes, quarterback absolutely at number two. Everything else, figure it out later. Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. I know this might be sacrilegious to you, but you cannot go into the season with Davis Mills and especially Case Keenum as your starting quarterback options.
Why would that be sacrilegious to me? I know Keenum's a Coug, and I love Case for everything he's done for the University of Houston. Go Cougs, don't get me wrong.
Because of that. That's why I thought I might hurt your feelings. Look, I don't feel great about him being the starting quarterback.
If Case Keenum plays any significant snaps for the Texans, for any reason other than injury for this upcoming year, something has gone terribly, terribly, yes, terribly wrong.
Right.
So, look, I think that if they go Bryce Young at one, like we theorized here, if the Panthers do, C.J. Stroud has to be the option at two. And DeMeco has hinted to as much in some of his comments over the past few days. He was on the NFL Network relatively recently, and he talked about how, you know, there are two quarterbacks that we're looking at very highly. Who could that possibly be? Two quarterbacks at the top of the draft that we're really looking at. That means you're looking at Bryce, and that means you're looking at C.J. I'm not buying the Will Levis hype. Please, God, no. I don't care what Jeremy Branham is selling me. I don't care what sort of snake oil he's trying to sell to the city of Houston. Will Levis is not the option. Will Levis is not the answer. That cannot possibly happen. It's got to be C.J. Stroud if it's not Bryce Young. And I fully expect that Bryce Young will be available there too. But if he's not, it has to be C.J. Stroud.
Yes, absolutely. It has to be C.J. Stroud. I almost would like C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young just because of the
Really?
Yeah, just because of the size questions with Bryce Young. And maybe this is selfishly, but I just don't want to be a fan of a team that has a small quarterback just because every time they lose a game, it will be, is he too small? Can you win with a guy this small? Every time he gets hurt, it's, is this guy too small? I just don't want, selfishly, as someone who consumes sports media and I guess helps create sports media also, I just don't want to have to deal with that storyline every week for the next 5 to 10 years of my life of how small Bryce Young is.
Social
I just don't want to do it.
Social media influencer,
I said,
Sean Mapes.
I said help
content
create.
Content creator.
I said help create.
Social media influencer Sean Mapes over here.
Yes, as an influencer, I do not want to have to deal with how small Bryce Young is.
I think it's definitely an interesting thing because I don't know who the Texans are higher on. I mean, you know, if it is Bryce Young and the Panthers take Bryce, are you taking C.J. Stroud because you're saying, well, he's just the next best thing, so we have to go with C.J. Stroud? Or are you then saying, Well, I don't know. Do we go into the Caleb Williams sweepstakes for next year and we have to be bad for one more year? I don't know how they're thinking.
I thought
that if the Texans were to have acquired Jimmy Garoppolo, that maybe Anthony Richardson was going to be your pick at number two. Are the Texans at all maybe still talking within the front office of, hey, do we kick the tires on the Lamar Jackson? Do we go on the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes? Now, of course, he's going to want to get paid. Do we want to pay him long term? I think Bryce Young is the guy that the Texans want. That's just me. C.J. Stroud, I've been on the C.J. Stroud train since the beginning. I said you can't teach height. You can't teach size. It seems like Bryce Young is trying to, you know, beef himself up a little bit. I think Sean said a couple weeks ago he's drinking a little bit more water than normal.
Yeah, or just before he had to step on the scale at the Indianapolis Combine, he had a water baby.
Putting on that water weight. It's definitely going to be interesting because I do believe that the Texans have options. But I think Bryce Young is the person that they want. If they don't get Bryce, I wouldn't have a problem with C.J. Stroud. I also wouldn't have a problem, like I said before, I wouldn't have a problem if you started talking and saying, hey, let's get Lamar Jackson here. I mean, you know, is that a guy that they also want to kick the tires on as well? So it's not like they don't have options if they're the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that's the only viable alternative, I think, to getting either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young is Lamar Jackson. Like, that is the only scenario that I'm willing to even remotely accept or consider.
No.
Like, because of the fact that, look, Lamar is a proven commodity at the quarterback position. He's won an MVP. Maybe he hasn't won a ton of games in the playoffs, but other than that, he checks every box that you would want in your franchise quarterback. And if you're not getting somebody who's going to be under contract control relatively cheaply for 5 years in C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, then give me the absolute top-tier proven commodity in Lamar Jackson. Any other scenario than that, I'm not even willing to consider or discuss it.
And there is a reason why there is some belief I've seen why teams might wait until after the draft to make the offer to Lamar on his exclusive deal, because it comes with having to give the Ravens 2 first-round picks.
Right.
And you don't want to give up the first-round picks that you have this year, because if you sign Lamar, you're going to be good. So you'd rather have those be next year's draft. That's the idea behind that. So if they do pass on a quarterback, a number two, the second after they call out the name of Will Anderson or whoever they pick at number two, or if they trade down, they need to leak to Ian Rappaport immediately that they plan on making an offer to Lamar Jackson, because we cannot have 48 hours of, oh my God, what are the Texans doing? Well, just as a mental, for the mental state of the city of Houston, we cannot, there has to be a, hey guys, do not freak out. We're working on a Lamar deal.
That would be so Texans, though, right?
It would be insanely Texans.
I understand that they have operated in a more competent manner this offseason. And there were some.
Hard to be a less competent manner. But yes.
Low bar to clear, obviously.
Right.
But you look at the way that things have gone this offseason, and you think to yourself, okay, if that's the route that you're going to take, Nick Caserio has instilled enough faith with the way that they've gone about things this offseason and with the coaching search. As Cody Stutz, who's here with us today, host on the Wheelhouse, decided to stop by, be the best possible teammate on the station.
Yeah. In the first row, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a packed house here at McIntyre, since you see the bullpen. You know, these tickets are harder to get than the final four tickets, let me tell you. But
talk about low bar to clear.
The love is real.
But if the Texans, they have operated in a manner this offseason that makes me think, hey, you know what? I at least have a level of faith in them that I have not had for a good while. So with that being the case, if they went Will Anderson at 2, in theory, then I would say, oh, that a trade for Lamar has to be down the pipe.
Right.
If that wasn't the case, then, look, Nick Caserio needs to be fired. D'Amico's credentials need to be tested immediately because, look, if you do not have your future quarterback, whether it's Lamar or whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, if you do not have that player in place by the time we get to May, you have done a complete and terrible job, and it is an utter failure of an offseason, no questions asked.
Yep, 100% agree. 100% you need one of the three guys that you mentioned, or Anthony Richardson. I'll throw Anthony Richardson in there. Yep. Looks great in shorts.
Well, yeah, I mean, he hit the ceiling in his pro day, so
yeah.
Clearly.
I had him fourth on my board, and then he hit the ceiling. Yeah, well, maybe second. No, you absolutely need a plan, just a plan at quarterback that isn't Davis Mills. That's all we need, which, like you said, like we've said a few times this segment, very low bar for the Texans. I hope they clear it. I think they will, but, yeah, definitely they pass it. A quarterback at two immediately comes into question.
Yeah, and I think that's the real thing here when we're getting into what the Texans want to do in the draft is I don't think there's any question at this point what they're doing at number two. Like, yeah. Every single sign, like,
there's no smoke screen there.
They've even, like, D'Amico needs to work on his poker face a little bit because he's been a little transparent with the media and the way that he's talked about things. And frankly, as a fan, I don't mind that because that gives me some peace of mind that they're not doing some crazy strategy behind the scenes that makes me question my sanity. But I think that as long as, for the Texans, as long as they get that quarterback at two, we're going to be good to roll. But what they do at 12 is going to be the real question in the draft. We're going to get into that more coming up next. But before we get to the break, I just want to say another shout-out to the fine people over at Neutral Vodka Seltzer for having us out here. They've done just such a fantastic job of getting everything set up. This location down at McIntyre's downtown, absolutely fantastic. We're up on the stage. We got the Strohs playing behind us. And there's nothing that goes better with the Strohs game right now than one of these vodka seltzers. I mean, 100 calories, real vodka, real fruit juice, 4.5 ABV, no additional sugar. Like I've said before, it ticks every box on what you would want with a drink. Absolutely delicious. Come down here, catch the Strohs game, listen to us for the final hour of the show, and, have a good time. So come down to McIntyre's downtown. See us while we're doing our broadcast out here. Thanks again to Neutral Vodka Seltzer. Coming right back, more Texans draft talk. What's going to happen at number 12? This is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, The Bullpen, live from McIntyre's downtown.
ESPN. 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.